The guy who understands this, as we look through the window of baseball, as we do it every Saturday and Sunday with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, happy Sunday to you. As Pat talked about it, that walk-off walk all of a sudden is part of baseball here.
Yeah, that was pretty grim. I mean, the Dodgers are under a lot of scrutiny down in L.A. over the pitching staff, and not just the rotation, but the bullpen's been pretty horrible as well. And now you get a walk-off walk, there can't be anything more discouraging for a pitcher than that. Couldn't throw a strike. He threw four straight balls to the last guy. They're in a little bit of disarray right now.
Bruce, your take, you wrote a great column today about what this series means to the Giants, and they can go toe-to-toe with the robust Cubs. What do you think of the game yesterday, and a little bit of preview us for tonight?
Well, I just thought if I'm Bruce Bochy, I'm just delighted with yesterday's game. I mean, everybody in the starting lineup contributed something. You'd have to include the span, only to walk, but it was a 10-pitch walk to start the game and kind of set the tone for runners on base against Lester. They didn't have three of their studs in there. They still beat the Cubs. They showed a little power. They got great relief pitching. You just had Javier Lopez on. That was a huge strikeout he got of Federovitz, a right-hand hitter. You know, they got to have that. He's not always going to be able to face one lefty, and that's it. He threw a great breaking pitch to get him, and Osich got Rizzo on a high fastball. I mean, there's just so many good, positive things. You know, not to mention Matt Cain, who looks like he's really ready to put together. He has put together a string of good starts and give just take a little pressure off the front office to, you know, what are you going to do about this, you know. And so really a terrific day on many, many fronts. As far as today, I mean, Bumgarner against the Cubs, it can only be better if it was a 1 o'clock start, Marty.
Really?
We love those 1 o'clock starts. Hey, Bruce, yeah. You talked about Matt Cain. My buddy Brian Murphy called him the X Factor in the rotation and for the entire team this year. I think Mike Kruko predicted he could win the comeback player of the year award. And, man, if this guy can throw, you had some pretty lofty expectations, or at least saying that maybe the race is over if Cain can pitch like this the remainder of the year.
Yeah, Kruko's really sold, and you know, he's a straight shooter. If somebody's not cutting it, he's not going to pretend that he is. He's really impressed with Kane's stuff. Mm-hmm. Said so on the air. And, yeah, I mean, I kind of made that point. If the Dodgers don't do anything really significant, like a really big trade for somebody, I don't see how they catch the Giants. The Giants have too much going. If Kane's in there as a really reliable fourth starter with those three guys on the top, the Dodgers they don't come close to matching that. The Giants' bullpen is more solid as well. Maybe Kenley Jansen has a slight edge over Casilla, but overall, their bullpen doesn't match up. So I'm feeling real good about the Giants if I'm out there in the fan base. They're a really fun team to cover, as usual, a really solid bunch of guys, and a lot of positives right now.
All right, let's see. We have our lineup for today. Bruce, I don't know if you heard it yet, but it's Denard Span, Joe Panik, Matt Duffy back in the three spot, Posey, Brandon Belt, Crawford, Blanco in right today, no Pence, Bumgarner in the eighth spot, and Pagano's back today playing. So maybe the mild hamstring, I guess he knows his body and he's out there today. I just worry about those hamstrings.
Yeah, you worry about him all of a sudden, you know, a tremendous burst of speed in the outfield or the bases. It's going to happen at some point. He probably feels like he can get away with it. And, you know, it's not like it's a Wally Pipp thing. It's not like somebody's going to take his job. I mean, they like Tomlinson out there and Blanco and everything, but it's his job. It's not like if he feels like, I got to get back in there, it's going to be all over for me. So, obviously, his confidence is up, and they trust him. So, and, you know, as far as Pence, I'm glad he's sitting out, really. I mean, just from the standpoint of you have to heal that thing 100% and then some, you know, maybe even take another day or two after you think it's all good, because they just can't have that thing go bad on him.
Well, Giants have a chance to take 2 of 3 from the Cubs this weekend here at AT&T with Bumgarner on the bump tonight. Hey, Bruce, we had Barry Bloom, senior writer MLB.com, out here at the patio earlier, and I was just off the air casually mentioned Jackie Bradley Jr. has got 27 consecutive games with a hit in it. And I said, when do you start paying attention to a hit streak? Marty, you said about 30. I think Barry, he poo-pooed it and said 40 before he even noticed. What does the great Bruce Jenkins say?
Well, I mean, 30. His 30-game hitting streak is fabulous. Like, all right, you're only a little more than halfway there to DiMaggio, but you got to forget about DiMaggio. 30-game hitting streak is fantastic. I mean, you're not thinking records. You're just thinking this guy is doing something really significant. It doesn't happen that often. If you're really watching the records, you start thinking about the early 40s, you know. But for me, 30 is nails. 30 works for me.
Barry Bloom turned into Grumpy Cat, if you've seen that.
He can be a surly fellow, but he knows a lot of ball. Great guy.
He does. When I asked him the question, he turned into Grumpy Cat.
Well, he says he's not moody at all. He has one mood, Grumpy.
Yeah, right. That's right. He's in the Barry mood.
That was it. Hey, Giancarlo Stanton, and I happened to hear this on the way in today. He got a hit, Pat. He did get a hit. He got
one hit
single,
today,
single up the middle. But
two more strikeouts.
How do you explain this, Bruce? A hitter of his ability, and I know baseball's up and down. It's a cycles. It's a story of the season. But my goodness, a hitter like that, and to just not see the ball?
Yeah, there's always that little cloud up there in big league baseball, and everybody goes through it where it's hanging over only your head. And you don't think you're ever going to get another hit. You'll never be able to throw that slider again. You can't even get an out. It's done. It's over for you. Even if you're 27 years old, the game will do that to you. And the way he looks up there, he looks like he's in one of those spells. I didn't see what kind of a hit he got, but he's the good breaking ball low and away. Forget it. You're striking that guy out every time. It is strange. I mean, you don't see him adjusting. Just try to poke the ball. I mean, he's got off field power, and a lot of it's accidental. But it looks like he's still trying to yank a 490 foot homer off some restaurant somewhere. But it's. Again, it's also baseball. Then in a month from now, he'll have a home run streak in a week's time that'll blow everybody's mind.
Boy, I love it. That's why it's 162, and that's why you have to just go through it, go through the journey. And it takes you all over the map and through every season of the year. Bruce, Ron Wotus and I had fun with Pat today,
cool.
And we talked about shifts. And I brought out the picture of the Williams shift that Lou Boudreau portrayed in 1946. Everybody was on the right side except for the left fielder who was in short left field. How about that? I said to Woe, I said, why don't you just put everybody over there in right field? You know, just make him hit through the shifts or make him go the other way. And you know something? I could see it.
Well, and you know, he was the kind of guy. Well, just said, "Well, the hell with you! Watch this! I'm going to drill it through all of you guys." You know, I mean, he's not going to change his hitting for anybody. I don't know the stats on how well it worked and how often they did it, but the shifts are part of the game's history. I think Keith Olbermann has found some evidence that happened in like the 19th century. So, I mean, for somebody like Joe Girardi to say, "I don't think we should have shifts," you know, forget about that. You should be able to play any kind of defense you want. You could have nine guys out there, you know, dancing the samba. I mean, anything should go. And I'm interested to see what will be the most radical shift, to say, from this season, because it's so in fashion now, and everybody's doing it to some degree. You know, how radical it's going to get.
Well, the professor was with us today, and we always learned something from him. And he said, when you want to be in no doubles defense, right? You got a one-run lead or tie game. It's in the ninth inning, and you don't want to double. You play deep, so you keep the ball in front of you. He said, play four outfielders. Take one of the infielders and put him in the outfield, and just cover every gap.
Yeah, and you know, the guarding third base is another part of the no doubles defense. You know, that's a shift. I mean, to say that we don't want any more shifts, so what? You're going to take that away? And I always had trouble with that, depending on the hitter, who the hitter is. If he's a guy that can hit the ball through the left side, you hit a routine grounder to short, but there's the third and there's nobody there. You lost it because you're playing him right on the line. And how often is he going to hit the ball right down the line? So you go back and forth on that. Sometimes it works beautifully and you're a genius, and other times you leave a gap that you shouldn't have, and then you get burned for it. Well, it's baseball once again, Marty. It's the mosaic is what it is.
And it's true. The thing is, we kid about, but it really is true.
Yeah.
Again, I had fun driving in today and listening to Dave Van Horn, and he was talking. Then I heard the rain delay with Jack Cerenzik in Pittsburgh, and they talk about the Pirates and what they're doing now. They're playing the outfield shallower than any outfield has ever played. because they figure with certain pitchers on the mound, they're just not going to hit deep fly balls, and they want to cut off the little ground balls and the little Texas League singles. So that's the latest innovation from the Pirates, who are always ahead of the curve.
Well, they are, and I'm predicting that's not going to last all season. If it may not last for a month. I mean, it only takes, you know, a couple deep drives with the bases loaded, and that's out the window. I think against certain teams, it probably would be effective, certainly more than against other teams where you've got, you know, a lot of guys who hit. Let's put it this way: sure as hell wouldn't play it against the Cubs.
No. Yeah. What do you think
not
of the
in a
Cubs,
million
by
years,
the way?
And that's a team they got to beat.
And what do you think about the Cubs? You've seen them a couple of games now.
Love the Cubs. I watch them on TV every chance I get. I mean, that batting order they've got today, you know, it just never ends. 2 through 6, you know, Rizzo and Bryant, and they got, you know, Russell's hitting 6. He's a tremendous hitter in the clutch. Solera's in there today. It's tremendous. They're all young. They're fun to watch. They don't even have Kyle Schwarber, who is maybe gone for the year, but you know, they bring in a guy like Baez who has unbelievable power. I mean, I thought the Giants were lucky he didn't hit one out yesterday. He was taking some ferocious cuts and he hit a couple pop-ups about a mile high. But love the team. Joe Madden is the most, I think, engaging, interesting manager in the game. And Wrigley Field. I really hope they get to the postseason.
And Zobrist may be the most versatile player in baseball.
There's another guy. Yeah, Zobrist, yeah.
Hey, well, Bruce, we got to end at least on a very serious note, and this has to do with talking to the professor, Ron Wotus. And we were talking about how skippers really don't get in melees anymore, looking back at the Odor Bautista dust-up. And so I'll ask you, Bruce, if you were to take all 30 skippers and put them in a Royal Rumble, who wins?
Dusty'd be one of the finishers for sure.
With the toothpick and the wristbands and all that.
He's not a young man, but he could really go at it in his day.
That's a pretty good one.
How about Bruce Bochy? I mean, he could amble out there and put somebody in a headlock with those giant meat hooks, right?
Remember the wrestling matches where they'd have one guy and everyone else would be against him and the last guy standing? That would be Bochy, right?
Yeah, the Royal Rumble, right? Yeah.
Haystack Calhoun. That would be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, some of these guys like, you know, Gibbons and Bannister, these guys are more in their prime. It would be a heck of a tournament.
That's a good question.
Well, Robin Ventura comes in last place, right?
He does. He's forever. He's forever in a headlock. He's not actually in it. There's just a photo of him in the headlock.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Bruce, right. You got the DVR going tonight, or are you going to watch one or the other?
Well, you know, it's a typical Sunday, Marty. I'm immersed in the career of Solly Hemus, as you know. And, you know, 60 years ago, 1956, he hit a grand slam against the Braves at Connie Mack Stadium against Dave Jolly.
I know Dave Jolly was a nice right-handed pitcher, and they brought in Ray Crone after that.
Well, I knew you'd relate to this one. One of Solly's greatest days, 60 seasons ago. So there you go.
Very good.
That's my life, and it's kind of sad.
That's why you're the best.
Solly and Jolly, right?
Dave Jolly and Ray Crone.
Solly off Jolly.
Yeah. Right, I love it. All right. Thanks, Bruce.
Have a good
afternoon. He's the best.
Always enjoy it. Always do.
You never know.
Yeah.
With him, you never know.